welcome to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. It's finally getting a little sunny up here, so now I've got sun coming in on both sides. I need better curtains here.
Well, that's good. That's where you buy black curtains and then, you know, have a blackout system or a pull down or something like that. But anyway, we are doing something kind of fun today, just kind of playing around. We opened up a Clubhouse room along with all of our other live streaming locations. So Tim is hanging out listening to us. Tim, we're not going to have anybody speak today in this channel. You'll just get to hear what Mike and I have to talk about. So I thought I would try my new cable that came in, Mike. It's always the cable that you are missing, you know?
Yeah, it always seems that whatever one you need is the one you need to order.
That's the exact fact there. So, all right. Hey, we got some news. We got best practice today. We have an interview. We have question of the week and, of course, some stuff going on with podcast help desk, too. Let's talk about a little bit of controversy going on in space, Mike, with Overcast yesterday announcing that they're going to skip charitable and podsites tracking. And then today announcing they're going to unskip charitable and podcast sites tracking, and Marco making some kind of a comment to the effect that he really didn't want to deal with lawyers right now.
Yeah, well, what he's trying to do, and I understand it completely, is he's trying to solve a support issue for himself because, you know, a lot of these redirects, specifically charitable and pod sites, are being blocked by, you know, the routers, you know, or, you know, some other ad blocking software in the system. And it's making it so that people can't download the podcast through Overcast. Well, of course, they come to him and say, how come I can't download this? And then so he tries to skip through it, you know, some wizardry he does there behind the scenes. And of course, now, you know, people that want that tracking are mad at him. So I get it. Either way, it's not his fault that the ad blockers are blocking that.
I don't know if it's the ad blockers per se, but they've ended up on a list.
Yeah.
Both charitable and pod sites have ended up as, now we run a redirect at Blueberry and so does PodTrack. So, you know, knock on wood, we haven't been added to that list, but we only do stats collection. We don't do any attribution tracking. We don't do any tracking of listeners or no privacy issues. You know, Blueberry has, you know, for several years now been GDPR compliant globally. That's how we treat all the content, anonymize it. We don't allow it to be tracked back to a listener. And we're one of maybe two podcast hosting companies that do that.
Right.
So I'm not saying what charitable and pod sites is doing wrong, because most people that use charitable are using it purely for stats and not necessarily for attribution tracking, because I think that's an extra piece. And then pod sites don't have a full grasp on their entire business. But you know, those two companies have been added to these block lists. And I don't know if it's a privacy issue block list or if it's considered an advertising tracking block list. But if you're running your regular browser, let's say you run Safari, you're never going to have a problem listening to any podcast that's using any of those prepend URLs. It's when you use specific ad blockers and specific browsers that there are problems with. Now, I use, on my Chrome browser, I use, what's it called? uBlock. It's a very popular plugin for Chrome. And I don't have a problem listening to any of those shows with any of those preprints in Chrome. So my question always was, when Marco initially announced this, was, okay, what mechanism is causing the podcast to be blocked? Now, Sean, who is one of our tech support guys that works with you, Mike, he runs a Raspberry Pi as part of his firewall in front of his, and he's geeky, so he can do that. And his firewall updates, and he can't access from his computer or from his network any of those shows that use the charitable or pod sites.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, it's an ad blocking thing. Yeah. I forget what he calls that Raspberry Pi thing. I'm sure he'll chime in on Facebook if he's watching, but it's just one of those things, you know, they decided, you know, whoever makes those lists decided that those things are an ad and it wants to block it.
And I think a large of it is because they've advertised attribution tracking and that they can, you know, cross someone that listens to your show if they go to the site and buy something, you know, from the sponsor, and or maybe And none of them claim that this is what they're doing, but there's also this retargeting stuff that goes on, just like Amazon does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's the problem. You know, we all have opted in for advertising retargeting. You know, when we go on Amazon, when we go on Google, we've agreed to a terms of service that basically lets them spy on us and track us across different sites. But we opted into that. And we may not have read the terms of service, but in podcasting, there's no way to legally opt in for that kind of marketing. And as I talked with someone else yesterday, we know with the California CCPA and now 13 other states adopting language very similar to the California CCPA, that the door to spy on people browsing, people spying, this door is going to close very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah. How many times do you buy something or search for something, and then all of a sudden you're just bombarded with ads right. for that thing? And, yeah. and, you know, this is the same sort of thing that attribution in podcasting does.
Right. So time will tell if this gains any legs or what happens, but he's unskipping the Chartable and Podsites tracking prepends. So just be aware, if you can't listen to a show, this may be the case. There might be a firewall at your company, or, you know, and I'm sure that's where it's happening. It's probably happening at the network level. And again, what percentage of people are being impacted? Who knows? But people complain to Marco and say, I can't listen to this show. I hit play and nothing happens.
Right.
And what is he to do now? He's to say, well, sorry.
Yeah, it's up to the network. You know, we get a lot of that kind of thing as well. Not this exact thing, but we get some stuff that's out of our control, but yet they come to us for help with it. And, you know, we can usually help, but, you know, it's not generally something that we're causing. It's something, you know, going on outside of what's happening at Blueberry, or in Marco's case, in Overcast.
Yeah. So I think time will tell on this topic. And again, Blueberries and Podtracks prepend for statistics are not being impacted. And if, you know, we offer free stats and we have, you know, tens of thousands of shows that use our free stats. So we would be the first to find out if there was a...
Certainly. My email would blow up.
Yeah, and your phone would be ringing, and then you'd be like, help, we need help. So anyway, that's where that's on that. All right, let's talk. Next up is Squadcast. Squadcast audio and video is out of beta. I haven't personally used Squadcast. I was using Riverside FM while I was on out of the office, but... Squadcast now offers video and audio recording. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, it's very similar to what Riverside.fm's doing. They've been beta testing, you know, video and audio recording in their version 3.5, and they finally released it as the version. So it's pretty much like Riverside.fm. It's a recording software. It does a double ender, very similar to what the Riverside app does.
Right. Podfest in-person event has been delayed. They were originally scheduled to go sometime in June, but it appears that they don't feel like they can hold the event to the full extent that they want to because of the pandemic. So they're going to push. On the other hand, Podcast Movement, and as a matter of fact, I was in an AMA yesterday with the Podcast Movement University and talking about ways to organically grow your podcast. And by the way, those of you who don't know, Podcast Movement has made their university free for everyone.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been in there for a couple of sessions, and there's a lot of neat stuff in there.
Yeah, so you don't have to have ever attended Podcast Movement. You just have to sign up for their university, get free access to this training material. But anyway, Podcast Movement will return in person in Nashville, August 3rd through the 6th of this year. So the Blueberry team members will be there. Podcast Movement 2022 will be in Dallas in August, so we're going back to Texas. And Podcast Movement Evolutions will be in L.A. in March. So it's interesting that they did, you know, Nashville's more east than west, but Dallas and L.A. are more west than east. So it's interesting what they're doing for 2022. Maybe the reason they're doing it in Dallas is having a little more control close to home.
Yeah, that's probably it. And they planned it for 2020 in Dallas. And of course, that got kiboshed. So maybe they're recouping some of that investment as well. But yeah, I look forward to getting back to these in-person events. There's just something missing from the online stuff.
It's just not as engaging and interactive. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of engagement and interactivity on Clubhouse and a lot of those channels that are having, you know, big discussions. But I was in one earlier this morning, and again, someone that was on the stage talking about podcast monetization, was pitching. You know, they were pitching and they were just being a spokeshole for a service and not necessarily giving the best advice. And there was like 30 people in there. And I just shake my head sometimes. But, you know, people, again, if you're going to be in those channels, you need to vet who you're listening to.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
So let's talk about your best practice. Best practice, is there, this is a question that's often asked by new podcasters, is there a best day of the week to release your episode?
Yeah. And just like we were talking about what is the best practice when it comes to this stuff, we were talking about something similar earlier, but no, not really. There's not really a best day to release your episodes. That's kind of the short answer. The long answer is, if your content lends itself to something that's happening on a particular day, you know, I use the example in the write-up for the blog post, if you're doing a pro football or a NASCAR type podcast, you know, talking about the race or the game or whatever, you might want to put it out on Mondays after that game or that race, or maybe the Friday before if you're talking about, you know, what's going to happen or whatever. So that might be an instance where a particular day might be better than another. But for the most part, podcast listeners, they get the show and they listen to it when they want to. So as long as you're somewhat consistent, I don't think it matters.
You know, I think too is, you know, I had a friend when I was in Hawaii that he did a podcast on the Game of Thrones. So they would watch Game of Thrones when it was on HBO. And then they would immediately go, him and his wife would go into a recording right there in their couch in their living room and talk for an hour about that latest episode of Game of Thrones. And sometimes they were even, you know, I guess for a better word, DVR backing and looking at, you know, different segments of the episode. And because they were in Hawaii, their Game of Thrones review was available on the East Coast about 5 a.m. So it was a perfect, it was the day after, it was a perfect release for that because it was covering the episode. And that podcast became super, super popular. Now, you know, you pick your poison there. If you're doing NFL games can go pretty late. Or if you're doing NBA, or if, again, you'd maybe do a NASCAR or something to that effect, if you're something event related. Then I think timing is important. And my tech show is news related. I have to get it out immediately because that news is already dying on the vine because I've looked back 12 hours and I've recorded and I need to get it out so that I know over 96 hours that show is going to burn everything that's going to be ever downloaded on that episode. Whereas if you're pre-planning stuff, well, maybe you can release on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Now, typically consumption days are higher Monday through Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are highest. Friday is a little lower. Saturday and Sunday, it's just a little bit of a drop, not big.
Yeah, but your show is still going to be available. That's the thing. You know, if you put it out on Monday and somebody doesn't download till Thursday, it's still there.
Yeah. And my point really is you train your audience when the episode's going to drop. So if you're going to put your episode out every Tuesday and it's going to be, you're going to do the posting Monday night and really making it available for people that are getting up and going to work on Tuesday, then you need to tell them, hey, the podcast is going to be available Tuesday morning for you or whatever time is, and train them to that release schedule so that they build you into their lives. They're going to decide where to slot you, but they're going to know the new episode comes out on Tuesday. That's what YouTubers do. They say, we'll see you next Monday. We'll see you next Tuesday. They do that in their episodes. They remind you when the next episode's going to be out. So this is a good thing podcasters can do, is say, by the way, I'll be back with you on Thursday. So my show on Monday, I said, I'll be with you Thursday. And Thursday, I said, I'll be with you on Monday because I do two a week. So it's keeping the audience remembering that the show's going to be available. And even doing live, Mike, I've noticed my live numbers having been off for 3 weeks live, they went down because people found something else to do during that time slot that I was doing live. So yeah, there's no best day, but there are, you know, considerations.
Oh, certainly. And the whole idea, like Todd said, you know, just be consistent with whatever you're doing and people will build you into their lives regardless of, you know, what your schedule is, trying to be consistent. You know, like this show normally is available Thursday evening or Friday morning. And, you know, last week we ran a day late, but, you know, for the most part, we're the end of the week. And sure, people get used to that, and our numbers show that. But it doesn't matter if we change it to Monday, people would get used to that, or we change it to Wednesday, you know, whatever.
So we do have some news. We put up an article on podcastinsider.com. It's actually an extension of the Blueberry website, and it just gets you there quicker. You have to go to blueberry.com, scroll down, and click read more. But the articles for everything on Blueberry is listed on the front page of blueberry.com, the last three. But we put up an article on Monday that was Use Your Podcasting Skills on Clubhouse. So, again, today I'm doing our first live on Clubhouse. There was no plan. And Tim, thanks for hanging out with us today. And then we have a PowerPress training webinar coming up a week from today, right, Mike? March 25th at 3 p.m.
Yep, we're going to go over the new tags in PowerPress along with just setting it up on your website. So our normal monthly webinar, but I'm going to focus a little more on the new stuff that we added last week.
Our newsletter is going to be coming out directly, and I've got a big section in Todd's Corner talking about the new tags and feedback we're looking to get from Blueberry users, our customers, PowerPress users. And maybe I just announce it here. You know, we're working heavily on the UI UX. We've been talking about that on this show for a while. And that is progressing at the speed it's progressing. And, you know, ultimately, you guys are going to be blown away by what is forthcoming. But I'm looking for what we can do to help you. What is a feature that we don't have that would help you grow your show or production or, you know, all these things, you know? So if you have an idea, if you have something you say, man, I wish they had this, you know, drop me an email, todd@blueberry.com. I got a spreadsheet going and looking for those ideas. And be as descriptive as you want and tell me why this is going to help you and make your life better to provide you a tool, a service, a feature. Well, we really want to hear from you, but definitely going back to this topic that I kind of hijacked here, attend Mike's PowerPress training on the 25th at 3 p.m. Link will be in the show notes on how to register for that. And also, in the next PowerPress update, they're going to improve, I'm understanding, the stats dashboard widget, right?
Yep, that's the plan. You know, we have this little widget that you can put on your WordPress dashboard that just gives you a little overview of the stats. Well, we're going to improve that immensely from what I've seen. So,
because there's one there already, but this is like the next level.
Yeah, and it'll give you a little more detail and, you know, just a quick snapshot. You still want to go to the stats panel to, you know, get all the grisly details, but this will be better.
Don't worry. And what we have coming with the UI UX update, wow.
Yes.
That's a monumental change, and that's for the dashboard at blueberry.com.
Yep. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Let's talk about our podcaster of the month, Jenny Wheeler.
Yeah.
Of course, this is Women's History Month, I believe.
Yep.
And of course, we want to recognize a lady for our podcaster of the month. Mike, she does a show about books or something, yeah?
Yep. It's The Joys of Binge Reading. So, yeah. So she's got like 150 episodes so far. So she's been at this a while. And so go check her show out. We got a nice article written up over on podcastinsider.com.
Yep. So next segment here is question. Oh, no, we have this interview.
Yeah. We got to do the interview.
Yeah, we got the interview. And for those of you that are live with us, you're not going to hear the interview. You'll have to download the podcast at podcastinsider.com, subscribe. But our interview this week is with Diana Winkler of DSW Ministries. Have a nice conversation with her about her show. She's been a podcasting since late last year. And I think you'll find this pretty intriguing. After that, we'll come back to our question of the week. Everyone, I want to welcome Diana Winkler to the Podcast Insider. Diana does a podcast called The Wounds of the Faithful. She started her show in October of 2020. You'll be able to find her podcast over at dswministries.org. But Diana, welcome to Podcast Insider.
Oh, thank you, Todd. I'm so glad to be here. I love Blueberry and I love you and Mike's show. It's very entertaining and informative.
I don't know if we're that entertaining. Sometimes I need to do a little Red Bull shot to Mike to get into, you know, Mike is Mike. But let's, you know, I think, and thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it. But, you know, one thing, as we've talked to podcasters over the last couple of years, we always are looking to find out what the genesis story is. Why did you start the show? And you shared a little bit with me at the beginning, and I'm not going to steal your thunder or anything, but I have a pretty good idea where this is going to go. But let's talk a little bit about the why. Why did you start a podcast?
Well, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm an abuse advocate, and I have a ministry called DSW Ministries that's 11 years old. And so I use my music as one of the healing tools and it creates awareness about domestic violence and abuse. I'm about to record another album with the theme of healing from abuse and empowerment. And I facilitate these healing groups called Mending the Soul. So it's 16 weeks of a small group where we go through a curriculum and we help people to heal from abuse, all different kinds of abuse. And it's 4 people and 2 facilitators. And so we would get to the end of these groups and I found out that they needed more. They needed some more connection. They needed some more resources. They need more information. They need more guidance. And with the pandemic and everything, you know, we weren't allowed to go out anywhere, of course. We had the lockdown. Being a musician, my husband and I, we couldn't go out on any gigs. We couldn't go out in public. And I thought, well, I've been listening to podcasts because I work from home, my day job in healthcare. And so I was listening to podcasts because my job is very redundant and very repetitive. And I thought, you know, maybe I should start a podcast. I can do this. You know, I like people. I like talking. And I have a lot of things that are needed to start a podcast. Since musicians, I'm in my recording studio right now where we perform and record our music. So I already had, you know, a microphone. We already knew how to use Audacity. And my husband's a graphic designer. So he was able to do the logos and he was able to do the intro and outro for me because he's got a good radio voice. And it would be a good way for me to promote and play my music and to feature other people's music and use the platform of a podcast to talk about these abuse topics. So I do my solo episodes. I talk about different topics and then I invite abuse survivors to come on and tell their story and whatever detail they want to tell it. And then I have some industry experts come on the show and give some resources there. And then at the end of my podcast, I have usually some music, either my own music or somebody else's music who gave me permission to use it. So that's the reason why I started it. It was just an extension of the ministry that I already have.
Right. You were currently on a Zoom call and I'm looking at your microphone and you have a very nice, that's a blue
bird.
Yeah. And I used a blue mouse for years and there's a lot of podcasters probably envious of your mic because, you know, it is a really, really good mic. I think what's interesting here is that you're doing the ministry work and the abuse survivor work long, long, long before the podcast. So it's like you didn't start this to start that. You were already doing this and then you started the podcast.
Yes.
And if I may ask, what state are you located in?
I'm in Arizona.
You're in Arizona. So do you find then for, you know, you work with these groups in the 16-week course, I'm assuming that is, since COVID, it's probably remote, but before, were you all getting together and doing it locally, or was it survivors coming in from all over the country?
Well, Mending the Soul is an international nonprofit organization, and I partnered with them when I joined the church that I'm a part of right now with my husband. They had Mending the Soul groups. So when I went through my own group as a survivor, I trained to be a facilitator, and I started doing in-face groups with people in my church first. Mm-hmm. So I've done several groups at church, and then when the pandemic started, I had to switch to the Zoom. But we were able to do groups all over the world, Africa especially.
That's quite amazing. And I know that, you know, for those that are listening, faith-based shows, whether it be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever it may be, whatever denomination of faith someone is, it's the biggest category by far in podcasting. And it's not just churches putting out sermons as podcasts, while a lot of that happens. It's also small ministries like yours and others that do, you know, that do podcasts in addition to their regular ministry work. So I find it very refreshing in being that you're telling me that this type of work is happening globally, that probably brings a whole different dynamic. You know, abuse is abuse, but I'm sure in different countries it comes in various forms, doesn't it?
Well, we don't like to compare different abuses because all abuse is damaging.
Right.
But yeah, when we've sent teams, in fact, the founder of Mending the Soul sends teams over to places like the Congo, and you have like the rape capital of the world in the Congo, and, you know, horrible, horrendous things like, you know, burning down villages and burying people alive and throwing people into a pit and
right.
holding them ransom. And, you know, that's atrocity upon atrocity. And Ebola, they've had Ebola for forever, and poverty. And I know that this curriculum and these principles that we use in these groups work because they work in the Congo. We have these stories of people healing from these horrible atrocities and going on to start their own groups and to affect their communities. And they teach all the community leaders how to do these groups because it is so effective.
Right.
And I'm so passionate about it.
So how do you feel then the podcast has become the extension to that? And the thing I'm most curious about is the feedback that you're getting from people who are listening. Because I'm assuming that while some of the folks that are listening have been through the program and or maybe you've had contact with, there's probably others that have not. So you're probably getting an interesting amount of different types of feedback, aren't you?
I do. I get a variety of feedback. I have some really awesome guests. And so, of course, I get their audiences too that I get feedback on. And it's funny, you don't know who's connected to who. Somebody listened to my podcast and found out that the gal that I was interviewing, she knew this girl, didn't know she had gone through all this abuse. And so that was a connection I didn't even anticipate.
Yeah, it's a 7 degrees of separation. It's a pretty small world out there, ultimately.
And yeah, you never know who you know.
That's right. And you never know who's listening, too. So, you know, my mom and I, after my father passed 14 years ago, we did a show called Cherrycast for about 30 episodes. I think it was maybe more like 27, but it was about the process she went through from losing her husband and, of course, me losing my father. And it was this, you know, it was almost therapy for us to do this show together. I was in Hawaii. She was in Michigan. And, you know, we talked till we got done talking and we were talked out. So with this, you know, and that was our story. But, you know, you basically have got lots of stories to tell. And some people may or may not want to share their stories. How has the abuse survivors then, how have they, I'm sure for some, it's probably very hard to tell their story, isn't it?
It can be. I've told my story many times in public now. And it just depends on what day it is. Something I will say will touch me. I don't usually cry on podcasts mm-hmm. anymore when I'm invited on to tell my story. But the last two times, I cried about two different things about my story. And it was really hard for me. But that's just a natural process of remembering things. Some of my guests are public speakers like me. And they're very comfortable and professional in telling their story. I've only had one person that is pretty new about sharing their story, but I let them tell what they want to say. We don't need the nitty gritty sure. graphic details. Mm-hmm. We want to know how they feel, what was going through their mind, how did they get out, you know, what were the tools that helped you to heal? Those are the kind of questions that I ask. I want to make the guest as comfortable as possible. I don't want them to be falling apart at the seams while right. they're telling their story. So
you know, it's this month is Women's History Month. And yes. do you find that your guests are largely women or does it run the gamut?
Well, I have a lot of male guests actually on my show. Most people feel that only women go through abuse, but the industry that I'm in, and I've learned that there are a lot of male survivors, a lot. They just don't come forward. They don't tell anybody. So I am committed to not only serving women, but also the men, because there aren't a lot of resources for men. Mending the Soul, we have groups for men, and then we have groups for women. So yeah, I think that both sexes need resources and need healing. I'm really excited about, you know, Women's History Month, and October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so that will be coming up this year.
Yeah.
But I'm finding that being in this industry and the more stories that I hear is abuse is everywhere, and it's right. a pandemic. And I use that word, yeah. pandemic, but it's everywhere. It's worse than you think it is.
And I think the pandemic has maybe exacerbated it in some circumstances as well, or the evil has popped its head out during the pandemic when it maybe didn't exist before. But what do you think then? You've been involved in doing this work for a while. You're having these guests come on and tell their stories and talk about different, you know, provide resources and so forth. So what are you ultimately getting at the same time that you're talking to these people that are providing resources? It may even be a comfort or help you, give you resources in your survivorship.
Oh, it's just been wonderful. I'm really enjoying the podcasting process. I had a blog for the longest time. I didn't really enjoy the process because it's very isolated writing a blog and nobody was reading the blog. Mm-hmm. And with the podcasting has really been great for me. And healing is a journey. I'm a lot farther in my journey of healing than somebody that's just entering my group or somebody that was just assaulted, of course. So I have grown just in the last few years, meeting other survivors and hearing their stories, meeting some other industry experts and different aspects of abuse that I myself have not experienced. Like, I've never been sexually assaulted before. Other people obviously have. And so I'm learning a lot about other kinds of abuses that maybe I hadn't experienced. And to be knowledgeable and to further be able to help the people that I'm serving. But I enjoy just meeting new people.
You know, one thing that struck my mom and I when we were doing the show, so if we can help one person, just one, that was the goal, was to help one person through, you know, unexpected death in the family. And we'd gotten a couple emails that we felt, you know, we'd gotten success in our goal. Do you feel that you have listeners, or has this occurred where a listener has basically reached out to you after an episode and said, hey, I've been living with this and I haven't been willing to come forward yet, but maybe it's time. Do you see some of that happening as a part of the podcast and that you're reaching people that are really hurting, that have not had any support or access to resources?
Absolutely. I don't get a whole lot of interaction on Facebook. I don't know, it's the algorithms or something, but I'm really active on Twitter and people will message me on Twitter. In fact, I had a gal that messaged me and she said, this is what I'm going through. I think she was talking about narcissism. This is what I'm going through and nobody understands. And I would message back with her for about an hour. And I would tell her, I know exactly what you're going through. I went through the same thing. And we talk about different things. You know, I ask if she's safe. Do you have a safe place to go? Do you have children? So this is down and dirty. This is rubber meets the road ministry here. It's, you never know who's going to reach out and help. And
because it could be ongoing. It could be some right in the middle of something tragic.
Yeah, this pandemic, being in lockdown has exasperated it because they're locked in with their abuser sometimes. One of the girls in my previous group, the only downtime she had or me time was our 2 hours a week in the Mending the Soul group. And that's probably, that was a big wake-up call for me that there are people stuck with their abusers. Now, my first husband was my abuser, and I can't imagine being stuck under lockdown with him. I'm married to my husband, Brian, now, and we get along wonderfully. And in fact, today's our 11th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
And you really find out what kind of a person you're dealing with when you have to live with them 24/7. And you can't go anywhere because of the pandemic. And we still like each other. Yeah, we have the getting on each other's nerves because, you know.
That's normal.
You're not going to work anymore and you don't have your other outlets. But it's been a real wake-up call with, I really need to get extra resources out there and get this podcast out there so people know that it's there. I've got these wonderful guests that I have on my show. And I'm just starting out. Like you said, I started in October 2020. And my numbers aren't that high yet. I'm still going higher and higher, but I'm kind of like, I need to get more people to know that it's there.
But, you know, I think from, again, I'm not setting your goal for your show. You know, but I think if you have a goal to how many people you want to reach and affect, I think that's lofty. And that's what you should strive for, really, is to try to reach that number. You know, this is a pretty heavy topic for a podcast. But I think that we all, you know, every single one of us probably have a family member, a cousin or an aunt or someone that has suffered some sort of abuse or trauma. And maybe this is just what they need. So, you know, if you're listening to this show today and you've got a family member that, you know, is in a trying situation and or you have suspicions that they're in a trying situation, maybe this is the show to recommend as a, you know, a kind gesture via text. Hey, check this out. I think you might get something out of it. So I encourage all of you that are listening to the show today to definitely check out Diana's shows at dswministries.org. And if you're not directly affected, I'm sure you know someone that is, and, you know, direct them towards Diana's resources. I think you're doing noble work here. So I think that that is, you know, something to be said. And I know there's other shows like this out there, but you're definitely faith-based oriented. So, you know, that might be different from other programs that may not be faith-based oriented. So, you know, if you are a person of faith, this might be the podcast exactly for you.
I'd love to have you. See, I didn't know that I was being abused when I was going through the abuse because my abuser never hit me. And so it wasn't until somebody pointed out to me, well, hey, what he's doing to you is abusive. You need to get out. And so a lot of people listening, they may not know that the treatment they're receiving isn't normal. It's not, you know, just because they have an Italian temper or whatever. It's abuse and it's unacceptable. And let's get you some help. So I encourage that.
Well, I wish you the best luck with your show and check back with us on a regular basis and let us know how it's going. And of course, I know that you're using our PowerPress plugin. We appreciate being able to power your podcast with PowerPress.
It is really easy to use. Let me tell you, I'm not tech savvy and I was up and running in a couple hours. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
Fantastic. And we're always looking to make the process easier for people who are using our tools and services. And I'm glad that you were able to find us and get connected. And I'm glad you're able to share your story here today. Any final thoughts before we kick back to the audience?
No, I appreciate you having me on the show. I'm a huge fan of you guys. And for our listeners, please reach out to me if I can help you in any way at all.
Is there a good email address or what's your Twitter account?
My email is diana@dswministries.org. All of my social media handles are DSW Ministries.
Outstanding. Diana, thank you so much. And again, much success to your show and good luck. And thank you so much for being on today with us.
My pleasure.
All right. My question or questions of the week. This is the one that you guys probably answer 80 times a week.
Oh, yeah, at least. So
yeah,
we'll cover it here.
How do I get my podcast on such and such podcast listening app du jour, whether it be Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and the 100 and plus other places where podcasts are consumed? And sadly, there isn't one simple answer, is there?
No, but it's not difficult. It's just people have a hard time understanding that, you know, and this isn't written down in our notes here, but, you know, every time I answer a sales call, not every sales call, but a lot of sales calls are that too. Hey, I'm thinking about podcasting with you. Does Blueberry submit to and whatever directory? And, you know, well, of course, but basically there's just couple of steps here. You know, you get an RSS feed, however you do that. You know, of course, we want you to do it the Blueberry way with your own WordPress site and PowerPress. But, you know, however you get an RSS feed, once you get a podcast compliant RSS feed.
So I want to hold you there for just a second,
Mike. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of sales speaks by podcast hosting companies that say, oh, we can get you here, 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 and here. We're special.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing special. All RSS feeds are created equally, maybe not in function or feature, but they are created equally in a podcast ready RSS feed with the minimum requirements will get you everywhere.
Yep. That will get you everywhere. And basically you submit it to whatever directory. And, you know, Blueberry, we have a document that explains all the top ones.
Yeah, we have a guide. Yeah, on how to do that.
Right. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Or if you're using PowerPress, we have that destinations tab. And that's the easiest way. You know, you just click on whatever destination you're interested in. There's a link there. It says how to do this. We'll walk you right through, you know, getting it submitted. You know, you'll notice they're all similar, but they're a little bit different. And there's different requirements for different ones. But if you're using PowerPress and you got it set up right, We meet all those requirements. So you can be on any place that you can submit an RSS feed to. There's nothing special about any RSS feeds other than, you know, some have more features than others and all that. But once you have that RSS feed, and basically I put in here, there's no step three, really. You just continue to publish episodes in each of those places that you submit to and have approved you. Now, some of them are more, you know, difficult to get approved on. Not difficult, but like some of them won't take you until you get a few episodes under your belt or whatever.
Or at iHeart, they want you to have a number of episodes under your belt.
Right. But, you know, for the most part, you can get anywhere. And once you're accepted there, you don't have to do anything else with them. You just publish an episode, they pull it in, and it goes to their platform and to all your subscribers, followers, whatever you want to call them, and you're set.
Now, one thing that we always, and here's the sales speak. We want you to control your feed and we want you to control your listing. So where you, AKA you, the podcaster, submit to, you do that with your email account. And that way you can go in. Some of those services have dashboards where you can go and look at stats like Apple, Google, Spotify all have dashboards. Now you can submit to through blueberry.com to Spotify automatically, and you still can go over and look at your show on their dashboard internally at Spotify, but we also give you stats. But I think the thing to remember here is some services submit some of these destinations automatically and they use their email account and you do not have access to that. So this is why we always talk about controlling your IP, controlling your listings. And if you're a company, don't have an intern do the submission on the intern's email. Make sure you have a catch-all email set up if you're a company that if someone leaves the company, you don't lose your listings because you don't have access to the email address or the password. So that's one thing we always tell companies is make sure it's used a company catch-all that will never, you know, if an employee to leave, you will still have that access to those stats via that email address or can reset a password.
Right. Well, just to reiterate, if some podcast company says, well, we'll submit it to this for you for, you know, automatically,
that's not
a good thing.
It's not a good thing. And matter of fact, we've complained long and hard to certain destinations about allowing that to happen, but that's what's going on. We also have a place in the manual that talks about podcast promotion. Again, it'd be a list of places in our guide. Or you can go to the PowerPress settings destinations menu and there's links in each destination to tell you how to get on that platform. I will say that our new UI UX dashboard will include a destinations tab here in the near future. So mimicking what is in PowerPress.
Yeah, some of them are already there, but yeah, once we change the layout of everything, we'll have them all there.
That's right. Well, Mike, that brings us to the end. You didn't think we had enough to get us there, but we want to remind people they should subscribe to the podcast help desk as well. Do you have a topic for this coming weekend for the podcast help desk?
I do not, but I'm sure I'll think of something. You know how that goes.
It's right. So, and it's a companion show. This is where you get much deeper in the weeds. So if your eyes have already glassed over a little bit for anything we talked about today, then podcast help desk may not be the show for you, but if you want to dig deeper, Mike goes into intimate detail on the topics he talks about. So.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do a show explaining the podcast index namespace. So maybe I'll do that this weekend if I get enough research in.
And that's another thing, too. If you're a PowerPress user, we want you to start using those tags. And we've done this. And again, I'm going to reemphasize. This is the first time independent group outside of major corporations like Apple and Google and companies like that dictating to us what type of tags we have to have in RSS feeds. This is the first time that a group made up of podcast hosts, independent podcasters, and developers have come up with some new tags to help you with locking your podcast, with transcripts, with chapter support, with location data. So feel free. And the more you utilize those tags, then what will happen is the more publicity will be made about it and more sites will start to support. We're kind of leading the way and saying, hey, we've done this. How come you're not supporting these new tags to the other groups that may not be playing ball at this point? So there's the percentage climbs of people. And, you know, we just dropped it into 85,000 podcast feeds. So that gives an opportunity for all of you to help move. And you don't have to use them all. Use two or three. You know, get your transcript from Audioburst, our partner. put the link to that transcript, you know, upload it to your WordPress site or wherever you store media. You can even store it on our storage. You can store that file the same place you store your MP3 and make that file available via the transcript tag. So anyway.
Yeah, you know, and that helps, you know, on the apps that use it. And there are a whole bunch of new apps. In fact, on Help Desk, I will say I will talk about this and I will also give you a list of apps that are using that now. So it's pretty cool.
But the more we use it, the more the mainstream apps will use it. And these tools are all, everything's been designed to help you as a podcaster, not help a directory or something like that. This is purely stuff that's going to help you as a podcaster. So, okay, Mike, I have to unravel everything that I've got live. But if you have comments about today's show, or if you want to be on Podcast Insider, be an interviewee, Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. We'll get you on the show. And we'll schedule an interview with you. If you have comments on today's show, same thing, Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. Mackenzie takes care of all of our show notes, helps us with show prep, and from time to time does an interview. And of course, if you want a 30-day free trial of Blueberry Podcasting, just use the promo code Insider. That gets you a free trial.
Yep, and we want to thank our production team too, blueberrypro.com. They make us sound smarter and drop the music in there and sort of clean everything up. So kudos to them.
You know, here's one thing too. If you really want to take your show, I mean, to stratospheric levels, you need to talk to our Blueberry Pro team. It's fantastic. We love their work. We love what they're doing. They're helping many of our customers with production and recording. And, you know, it really is pretty extensive, the service offering they have over there. So go over to blueberrypro.com and check that out. Blueberry without the E's. And Mike, you know why there's no E's, right?
Yeah, we can't afford them.
We can't afford the E's.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah. So, and literally, we can't afford the E's because if you tried to buy the real blueberry.com, they wanted like $500,000 or something.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous.
That's why we dropped the E's. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Podcast Insider. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.